Praise God. Good morning, church. It's wonderful to be with you in King's Lynn this morning. I've spoke here a number of times, but I think it's been at least 2 years since I was last here. So it's great to be back with you. I always love coming here. One of the reasons why I love coming here, I know Paul is not here this morning, but I like coming here because you're used to a Yorkshire accent. Okay, sometimes when I go different places, I have to preach with a fake accent. But thankfully, hopefully you can understand me today. So I'm originally from Barnsley in South Yorkshire, now live in Hull in East Yorkshire. As Daryl said, I lead a ministry called Generation Builders. For the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I've been traveling as an evangelist around the world, and also a member of Revive Church, which is in the city of Hull, led by Jared Cooper. I'm part of the leadership there, lead the Bible College, and it's wonderful to be with you. Who knows that God's in a good mood today? Amen. You ready for all that God's going to do? Just want to quickly just say, introduce Sarah. Sarah is one of our Bible school students in Hull, and also Rachel. She's part of the leadership of one of our network churches. She's been on mission with me around the world. So if they come and pray for you a little bit later on, then you'll know who they are. Just really quickly before I get into God's word this morning, I just want to let you know that I have got some stuff, some kind of products at the back, which you might want to have a look at before you go home today. Since I was last with you, I've written 2 books. So this book is called Seeing the Church When Your Purpose Collides with God's Passion. And it's really about the plan and the purpose that God has for the church. I don't know about you, but I know that Jesus loves the church, and he's got a plan and a purpose for the church, and that's what this book is all about. And then this book has just come out. It's called The Miracle Table, Rediscovering the Power of Communion. I know one thing that you do as a church, and I love it, is you believe there is power in communion, right? And God just began to speak to me and show me some things in the Word of God about the power and the anointing that is available when we come around the Lord's table. And so I put that into book form, and so both those books are available at the end. For those that like to listen to messages, you like to listen to my wonderful Yorkshire accent, got a series of 6 messages on CD. There's one on communion, there's one on saying yes to God, one on birthing a new thing, one on praise and worship, and one about breaking through and breaking into everything that God has for us. And finally, this is pretty cool, I've got 2 cards here, and these are download cards. And so if you get these, you can download messages. There's 20 messages available on each card. This series is called Power in the Blood. It's a series of 20 messages about everything Jesus did for us on the cross. And this one is called Faith Builders, and it's 20 messages that will just boost your faith and just encourage you in your walk with God. So there's all that stuff there at the end, and we can take card payments as well if you want. Okay, that's all the advertising out of the way. Let's pray, shall we? God, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you that you're here to touch and to meet with us, Lord God, this morning. And Holy Spirit, I just want to pray that you would just come and have your way in every life, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, that when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, that's Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Don't know about you, but anyone else love Jesus? Anyone else love the power of the gospel to change lives? And this morning, I don't want to kind of talk for a particularly long time, but just really want to share my heart with you this morning. God has been, just the first few weeks of this year, God has just been speaking to me about some things and reminding me of the simple truth and the simple power that there is in the good news of Jesus. And we know that that when Jesus shed his blood on the cross 2,000 years ago, that there is power in that blood, that there is power on what Jesus did for us on the cross to rescue us, to redeem us, to deliver us. Who knows that Jesus is a mighty Savior? And when you put your faith in Jesus, he delivers you out of sin. He delivers you out of darkness. He delivers you out of bondage. He delivers you out of death. He delivers you out of an eternity separated from God. And who knows that there's power in that? But what God has been just speaking to me about is this, that the blood of Jesus and the good news of Jesus and the salvation that we have in Jesus, Jesus didn't just save us out of things, but he also saves us into something. Because here's a problem that sometimes we have in church, that we come and people give their lives to Jesus and they get excited about what they've been saved out of. But unless you know what you've been saved into, then the chances are that you'll go back to the very thing that you were saved from. Because every one of us was created for purpose. Every one of us was created for identity, to know who we really are. And unless we, if we only preach the one side, which is what we've been saved out of, but we never move into the purpose and destiny and inheritance that God has for us, then we'll never be all that God wants us to be. But I'm so thankful this morning that not only has he saved me out of death, not only has he saved me out of sin, not only has he saved me out of bondage, but he's also saved me into something glorious. And that is sonship. That is that now I can approach God as my Father in heaven. And what I want to just speak to you about for a few moments this morning is the fact that every one of us, when we give our lives to Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. And now we stand before God, not as sinners, not as people who are far away, but now we stand in the presence of God as his sons, as his daughters, as his beloved children, and now we can call God Father. I don't know what you think of when you think of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of visit him. Maybe you don't come to church regularly. Don't know what that word God means to you. Some people have this idea that God is kind of far away, or that they kind of picture some distant deity up on the clouds somewhere, or they think of some angry old man up in the air who's going to whack you around the head with a big stick when you step out of line. Some people think of God as some kind of force kind of thing out of Star Wars. But actually the God that Jesus paints for us, a picture of God that Jesus paints for us, is of a loving, heavenly Father. And the message of the gospel is this: be reconciled to God through what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then we come into this incredible adoption where we can become children of God. And that's powerful. There's this incredible scripture. It's in the Old Testament in Psalm 2. And in verse 7, God speaks and he makes this incredible statement. He says, you are my son. Today, I have become your father. Think about that for a moment. You are my son. Today, I have become your father. See, there's two things happening in that verse. One, God is making a theological statement, a theological truth. you are my child. But then he speaks of an experience that me and you must have, where he becomes your father. You see, it's one thing for you to be his son, for you to be his daughter. But has he become your father? Best example I can think of is with our natural children. I've got two boys at home, 4 and 1. And I remember when they were born and they were placed in my arms, and I looked at them and immediately, you know, in my heart, I said, that's my son. That's my son. That's who you are. But that's who they were to me. But who was I to them? I was just kind of some thing. You know, they don't even have a concept of people. And even as they grow up, I'm just some bloke who lives at home with mum. But then as they get older, as they come into understanding, they realize, that's my father. They've always been my sons. But they had to come into that understanding. That's my dad. And do you know what? Even in church, you may be a Christian this morning. You may be a believer in Jesus this morning. You may be a child of God. But has he become your father? Are you living in the reality of what it means to be a son and a daughter of Almighty God? Do you know, I travel to churches all over the world, and I would say that there is a large percentage of Christians that have not allowed God to become their father. Don't get me wrong, if I were to say to you this morning, are you a child of God? You would say yes. If we were to sing a song this morning about God being our father or we being his children, you'd sing along. You may even raise your hands. You may even get into it. But friends, are you living in the reality of what it means to be a child of God? Has he become your father? I may have told this story before when I've been here, but I find it one of the most powerful stories that I've ever heard. About 100 years ago in England, there was a famous Baptist preacher called Charles Spurgeon, pastored one of the largest churches, maybe the largest church in England. And one day, Charles Spurgeon heard that there was a lady in his congregation that was sick. And in fact, she was on her deathbed. And he was asked to go and just sit with her and pray with her before she went to be with the Lord. So Charles Spurgeon went, and as he made his way through the streets of London, he began to realize that this woman lived in the poorest part of the city. You think back to Victorian England, all the poverty and terrible living conditions that some people lived in, and she lived in one of the worst parts of the city. As he made his way into the house, everything was falling apart. There was dirt, there was mice scurrying around, there was insects, it was freezing cold, there was damp, there was mold. You think of the most horrendous conditions you could think of. And there's this little old lady in bed, riddled with disease, malnutrition, just a terrible situation that she was in. And the preacher sat next to her, and they exchanged pleasantries. He encouraged her. He prayed with her. And then he began to look around the room. And he saw on the wall a piece of paper that was in a picture frame. And it was the only thing in the room that kind of looked nice. And so he said to her, what is it? And she said, oh, Pastor, when I was a young girl, I was the maidservant of one of the wealthiest women in England. This woman had land, she had property, she had servants. You know, she had wealth. And I was one of the servants in her household. And in fact, I was actually her closest servant. We had a special bond, a special connection. He said, well, Pastor, one day my mistress died. But before she died, she gave me this piece of paper. But she said, Pastor, I have never been able to read or write. So I have no idea what it says. But I just put it in a frame and stuck it on the wall. Well, as the pastor began to read the piece of paper, tears began to roll down his cheeks because he realized that it was the rich woman's will. And that before she had died, she had left a large percentage of her estate to her young maidservant. And when Charles Spurgeon inquired as to the name of the lady, he remembered that many years before, it had been headline news in all the newspapers that the people who were in charge of this woman's estate were trying to track her down, trying to find her, because there was an inheritance available to her, but they had never found her. And here she was, lying and dying and living in poverty. And yet there was an inheritance available to her, which would have meant that she was one of the wealthiest people in England. How tragic that because of someone's ignorance, so much was available, and yet they were living with so little. Friends, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are like that woman in that story. We have this incredible inheritance as children of God. The Bible says that as God's children, God has made it so that we can receive the full rights of sons. And yet many of us are living with so little because we've not yet discovered who we really are and who God really is. Do you know this morning that you have an inheritance? Do you know this morning that healing is your inheritance? That miracles are your inheritance? That joy and peace are your inheritance? That love is your inheritance? That forgiveness and freedom from shame and guilt and the past, it's your inheritance? Do you know that a sound mind is your inheritance? Provision is your inheritance. Answers to prayer are your inheritance. The fullness of the Holy Spirit, it's your inheritance. Being able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that's your inheritance. Being a soul winner, that's your inheritance. Walking in boldness and authority, that's your inheritance. Being able to get a good sleep at night, that's your inheritance. All the people with children say amen. He gives his beloved sleep. That's what the Bible says, written, I'm sure, by a single man. Friends, we have an inheritance. Are we living in it? Do we know who we are? Do we know who God is? I still remember I gave my life to Jesus at 4 years of age. I've been to church every week since. And I've always known God as God. I've always known Jesus as my Savior. I've always known the Holy Spirit as that wonderful presence that fills us. And yet for many years, still living in shame, still living feeling like I wasn't good enough, still living comparing myself to others, still living far short of everything that God has. And then I remember a day, I could take you to the very spot. I wasn't even doing anything spiritual. I was driving in my car, and suddenly it just hit me. I'm his son. And that one revelation, that one thought that suddenly exploded and became alive and real, it changed everything. And I believe this morning people are going to come into the fullness and the truth of what it truly means to be a child of God. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus himself has this incredible encounter with the Father. It's when Jesus is baptized in water. And it says this in verse 16, that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." I believe that the greatest encounter you can have. Who's here for an encounter with God this morning? Amen. I believe the greatest encounter you can have is when the heavens are opened over your life and you hear God speak to you. Maybe audibly, but probably just a voice in your heart, in your spirit, deep inside. And you hear that voice saying, "You're my son. You're my daughter." I love how at this point Jesus had not preached a sermon. Jesus had not healed anyone. He had not raised anyone from the dead. He had not done anything. And yet still the Father said, "I love you and I'm well pleased with you." You see, we live in a world, don't we, where someone does something good and we say, "That's good, I'm proud of you." But in God's kingdom, God doesn't say, "I love you, I'm pleased with you," because of anything good that we've done. In fact, before we do anything, he looks at us and says, "That's my son. That's my daughter. Even before you chose me, even before you accepted me, I love you. I'm proud of you." I love that because that means that if before I did anything, he accepted me and chose me, that means that my behavior neither qualifies me nor disqualifies me. What qualifies me is the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that his blood was shed, and all I do is respond to that love, and I step into my adoption as his son. Do you know right now that the Holy Spirit, just like the heavens were opened, I believe the heavens are open here this morning. Just like the Holy Spirit came down, I believe the Holy Spirit is over each person here this morning. And do you know what he's saying? He's saying, "This is Daryl. He's my son. I love him. With him, I'm well pleased." I could go down the room, but he's the only name I can remember. Every single person here, God looks at you and he says, "You're my son. I love you. With you, I am well pleased." Do you realize how those words, hearing those words, getting a hold of those words, do you realize that they change everything? I mean, really everything. You might say, "Well, that's Jesus." But do you know how Jesus told us to pray? He said, when you pray, pray like this: "Our Father." Those words changed the way that humanity related to God forever. That you are no longer approaching a distant deity. You are no longer approaching some terrifying being, but you are approaching your daddy in heaven. You are just like a child approaches their father. You are approaching your father in heaven. I love how Jesus said, when you pray, Jesus didn't say, "Pray to my father." He said, "Pray to our father." In other words, when you approach God, you approach God like Jesus did. You have the same access, the same favor. You have the same closeness, the same intimacy the same answers to prayer that Jesus had. That's available to you. You're his son. That's who you are. I don't know what your identity is. You know, we live in a world, don't we, where people love to put labels on us. An addict, divorced, depressed, sick, whatever it may be. We love to put labels on people, and sometimes we put labels on each other. Whether that's good or bad, or we put labels on ourselves. But in the kingdom, there's only one identity that matters. And that's you're his son. That's you're his daughter. Every other label falls off when we know who we are. I'm his child. I'm no longer identified by my past. I'm no longer identified by my failure. I'm no longer identified by my circumstances. I'm no longer identified by how I see myself or how other people see me. Now my identity is this. I am a child of God. He wants to restore to you this morning who you really are. I was preaching in our church a few weeks ago, and there was a young girl in the meeting. I had no idea really who she was or anything about her, but as I was looking at her while I was preaching, I saw a label over her head. And the label said success. So I said to her, I've seen this label over your head saying success. I believe that God is going to give you success, particularly in education. Well, I didn't think anything of it, but a couple of weeks later, I got a message from her mom. Her mom said, "You don't know my daughter, but she has been diagnosed with severe dyslexia and with very serious learning problems, learning difficulties." And she said, all throughout her school life, she's been kind of failing at everything. She said, "Last night we went to the parents' evening. And in every subject where she was failing, she is now getting a distinction." Friends, that is a God who changes the labels. That is a God who changes our identity. When the world says failure, when the world says underperforming, God says, "That's my son, that's my daughter. I speak success over you. I speak favor over you. I speak blessing over you." Sarah here, got an amazing story. You might hear it in a moment. Sarah's come out of Teen Challenge, and one of her friends who I met actually before I met Sarah, she came to a meeting I was doing in Rotherham, and I prayed for her. This lady had been injecting drugs for years, and she come out of that, got saved, got delivered, got set free, filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes there are consequences to our actions, and one of the consequences was that she was left with hepatitis C. That was the diagnosis that the doctors had spoken over, and she was on medication and everything. And we prayed for her in this meeting, and a couple of weeks later she went to the doctors just for some routine tests, and the results came back. The doctor said, "We don't understand this, but the diagnosis has changed. There is no trace of hepatitis C in your bloodstream anymore." That's a God who changes our identity, who restores what was lost. A friend of mine, his mom, about 7-8 years ago, she went to the swimming baths and had an accident and damaged her back. And it was never diagnosed properly by the doctors. And they misdiagnosed and didn't realize that she had broken several bones in her back. And this meant, obviously, she couldn't bend down, she couldn't pick things up, but also there were all kinds of other complications. She was totally lame in one leg. She walked with a limp with the other leg. She had her organs were damaged internally, which meant that she was doubly incontinent. She had developed a serious case of diabetes. She had to have a harness to get in and out of bed. She had to have a mobility scooter. She couldn't drive anymore, couldn't work anymore. It was a real terrible situation. And she came to a Sunday evening meeting that I was doing, and I had no idea about the circumstances or anything, but I just prayed for her. And the power of God touched her so powerfully that she fell to the floor, and no one was there to kind of help her or stand behind her, so she just hit the floor. And everyone in the church who knew about her situation, kind of, they did this big intake of breath. Oh no, this is not good when a woman who's got these kind of issues falls down. But you know, while she was there on the floor, the Holy Spirit began to work powerfully in her body. And a few moments later, she got up totally 100% healed by the power of God. The bones in her back had been healed. She had full use of her legs again. The internal damage had been restored. Even the diabetes was healed. She went back to the doctors. The doctor was in floods of tears, saying this is a 100% miracle. But the real power of this story is that she had a little granddaughter who was about 4 or 5 years old. And her granddaughter had been born after the accident, and so she had never been able to pick up her granddaughter. But right there, she went home and picked up her granddaughter and was spinning her around the living room, both of them in floods of tears. You see, God is a restorer. And when there's diagnosis, when there's issues, when there's complications and problems over our lives, when Father God steps in, He's able to restore what the enemy has stolen. He's able to restore health, even restore time, restore relationships, restore who we are. For that woman, Colleen, for years her identity had been disabled. Her identity had been her condition. But now she was restored back to who she was as a child, as a son, as a daughter of Almighty God. Friends, He is an incredible God and an incredible restorer. I got an email over Christmas. Isn't it amazing? I'll come back to that. Isn't it amazing how Jesus has this encounter with God where God says, "You are my son." And straight after that, Jesus is tempted by the devil. And what is the first thing that the devil says to him? "If you are God's son." Trying to get him to question who he was. I got an email over Christmas saying, "You've not paid your TV license. Fill in the details here, or, you know, we'll send the boys round," kind of thing. And so I got my card out. I started to fill it all in. And then I just thought, hang on a minute, this is a little bit off. I'm not buying this. And so I just deleted it. I was glad I did. Because I read on the news a couple weeks later that someone had fallen for that scam. A couple, and they'd been robbed of £30,000. If they had have scammed me, they would have been disappointed. It would have been the least successful con in history. But they were identity thieves. And you know, the devil is the biggest identity thief of them all. He wants to rob your identity. He wants you to question who you are. He wants to think that your circumstance, that's your identity. That your past, that's your identity. That your sin and failure, that's your identity. But God wants you to know that is not who I am. My identity is, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. That is who I am. That is my identity. You know why Satan hates you knowing who you are? Why Satan hates you knowing that he's your father? Because of this powerful scripture in Romans 8. It says the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Jesus here describes two spirits. One is a spirit of fear that makes you a slave. The other is a spirit of adoption that makes you a son. And listen to this carefully. Those two spirits cannot coexist. You are either living in one or the other. You are either a slave bound by all kinds of issues, or you are a son and you are free. But you can't live in both. You see, the spirit of sonship is like what kryptonite was to Superman, to fear and bondage. You may be here this morning. You may be bound by all kinds of stuff. But when it hits you, that spirit, God's spirit, hits you, and you realize, he's my dad. I'm a son, I'm a daughter. Every chain breaks off of you. Fear has to leave. Depression has to leave. Guilt has to leave. Condemnation has to leave. Feeling unworthy has to leave. When you step into that reality, he's my father. Just read you two more scriptures. John 8:35 and John 10:29. I'll just read these out. You don't need to turn to them. But John 8 says this: now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Aren't you glad this morning? That verse to me, it speaks of security. It speaks of the faithfulness of God. There may be people here this morning and you may have been rejected by your earthly father. You may have been rejected by your earthly mother. Maybe you've never known them. Maybe there's been conflict in that relationship. But you have a father in heaven who says, I will never reject you. I will never cast you out. I will never tell you that you are not good enough. A son belongs to the family forever. Hallelujah. And then John 8, I love this. It says, John 10. Jesus said, my Father who has given them, that's us, to me, he is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you know this morning that your dad in heaven is greater than all? He's greater than cancer. He's greater than any sickness, any disease, any addiction. He's greater than your past. He's greater than your failures. I don't know what you're going to go through in 2019. I don't know what I'm going to go through, but I know this. My Father is greater than all. And no one can snatch him who is in his grip from his hands. Isn't God so good? Just got a couple minutes left, but Sarah, we just come, just take 2 minutes and just share what God's done in your life. This is, a powerful story of how God can save and restore and deliver.
Amen. Amen. So for me, I was very vulnerable from a young age, and I was abused. And mentally, emotionally, and physically. And for me, this led to mental health problems. So from a young age, because of how rejected and isolated I felt, because I couldn't say anything, I was too scared. I had ADHD, and that turned to anxiety and depression. And by the end, I was 21, I was diagnosed with a personality disorder. I had the thought I had borderline schizophrenia. I used to hear voices. I had psychosis. I didn't want to go out. I used to literally sweat. I couldn't speak to anyone. I was bowed down in shame. And I turned to the alcohol, and I was in addiction. I'd have drug binges. I'd just go around absolutely with my head in the cloud, not caring for nobody. I just wanted to die. And I remember this one night that completely changed the course of my life. This one night I went to sleep after crying out to God, God, kill me, I want to die, I cannot cope with this life. If you are real, I need you to show me that you are real. And that one encounter of God meeting me in the pit of despair had changed my life, because he lent his arm down and he picked me up. He picked me up out of the ashes. Out of the addiction. I have been clean 4 years now because of the glory of God in my life, because of the touch of God. But it wasn't just that encounter, that love, it did something to me. I became somebody. I became a child of God. I had a new identity. I had a new identity in him. I had a relationship with the Father, and his love renewed my mind. His words renew my mind. He says, he sings over his children songs of deliverance. He delivered me out of hell. And he restored my life, my mind. I'm on no medication for my mental health. I am completely free. And I stand here, a testimony of his grace and what he can do with a life that says, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And I just want to testify to that today. And 5 years, this is the first Christmas, 5 years, it had been the first year I've been able to spend with my child. God is a restorer of families. God is restoring my family, my relationships with my family, my sister, my life. I'm studying now, completely free. A child of God with a Father, a Heavenly Father who loves me. I have new life. Hallelujah.
Come on. God's good. I want to close with a story. Someone just come and play for us, like guitar or keyboard. Or... great. I've got a 4-year-old son called Judah, and about a year ago, he'll have been kind of 3, I guess. I took him to the zoo for the day, just me and him. And he was, you know, we kind of looked at all the animals and all the zoo stuff. And there was a playground kind of as we were leaving. And he said, Daddy, I want to go and play. So I said, okay, you go and play. And there were some benches which were about as close to the play area as I am from the first row here. And so I said, I'm just going to sit here. You go and play. But I'm going to be watching you. Don't worry. So he went off and began to play. And I've got my eye on him. For about 10, 15 minutes, he came wandering out of the play area. But I realized he was faced in the wrong direction. So he couldn't see me. So he began to shout, Daddy, Daddy. Well, the moment he said that, I stood up and began to walk towards him. But he still couldn't see me. So he started grabbing all these random parents, saying, where's my daddy? I've lost him. Where is he? And then at the top of his voice, he let out this shout, Daddy, where are you? And I just tapped him on the shoulder. Said, I'm right here, son. And he turned around and held me, sobbing. And he wouldn't let me go. Well, a couple weeks later, we were just kind of, I don't know what we're doing, but he said, Daddy, can you remember when we went to the zoo? And I said, yeah. And he said, and you lost me. So I just kind of let it go, but he kept bringing it up. Well, a few months later, I was going to America on ministry, and my wife was driving me to the airport, and he was in the back, and she said, Judah, while daddy's away, I'm going to take you to the zoo. Well, I knew what was coming. He said, daddy took me to the zoo and he lost me. So I kind of turned around and said, Judah, we're going to deal with this once and for all. This spirit of rejection, we're dealing with it. I said, I did not lose you. You lost me. See, the truth was, I was there all the time. I didn't take my eyes off of him for a second. He was just faced in the wrong direction. But the moment he turned around, there was his father, ready to hold him and embrace him. And maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering, where is God? Where is God in my life? Where is God in my circumstances? Maybe you're here before and you have never given your life to Jesus before. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but maybe it's been a long time since you felt or experienced the presence of God. And you're wondering, where is God? Has he left me? Has he abandoned me? Truth is that he doesn't take his eyes off of you for a second. But sometimes we're just faced in the wrong direction. The Bible uses a word called repentance. And that simply means turning back around to face God. Turning away from our sin. Turning away from the distractions. Turning away from just getting so caught up in the circumstances. And getting our eyes back on God. And when we do that, we don't experience a God who will judge us or condemn us. But we experience the loving embrace of our Father in heaven. That's what he wants for every one of us this morning. Why don't we just close our eyes right now and bow our heads? Holy Spirit, I want to thank you that you are tapping people on the shoulder this morning, saying, Daddy's here. Like the prodigal son, you may have been in the pigsty. You may smell a pig this morning, but he doesn't care. He'll still hold you. He'll still embrace you. He'll still kiss you. He'll give you a robe of righteousness. Right now, I just want to ask a couple of questions this morning. I want to ask firstly if there's anyone here this morning and you have never before given your life to Jesus. It's everything I've said this morning, it's Jesus that makes it real. It's his blood on the cross and us responding to his death and resurrection that enables us to become adopted as his children. You imagine an orphan out on the streets living in absolute poverty, and the kindest, most gentle, most wonderful family come and say, we'll adopt you. And that orphan says, nah, you're okay. They'd be crazy to do that. Friends, there's a God who wants to adopt you into his family this morning. All you have to do is say yes. Secondly, you may be a believer here, but maybe it's been a while since you've experienced the presence of God, or maybe you've never truly experienced God as your Father. He wants to give you that experience this morning. And finally, you may be here this morning and maybe you're sick in your body. Maybe you need a miracle, a breakthrough. God's here this morning to give you. It's all part of your inheritance. And he's here this morning to restore and heal and deliver. Right now, while every eye's closed, every head is bowed, if you're here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time this morning, you just raise your hand right now where you are.